the creative process, it's kind of like this shifting thing. It's very moldable because it's like just ever changing.
This is Midlife Creatives, a new podcast exploring the creative process of established artists who are middle-aged and beyond. Midlife Creatives is hosted by me, Holly Idle, and Julie Ellman. Each episode will be speaking with a maker about events in their life that have influenced the trajectory of their creative process. Julie is a professor at Ohio University. She has taught in the School of Visual Communication for many years. Over the past few years, she's been teaching a course that she developed called The Creative Process. In this class, Julie facilitates discussions on various art forms and creative processes, and she has guest speakers and field trips. Before I enrolled in the class, she told me it's like going back to kindergarten. We play. In this class, we've practiced collage, attended a drag show, and visited an artist studio, heard lectures on her own creative process. During a recent lecture, Julie was speaking about the creation of her book, Fear Illustrated. She was curious about fears that people have and her own fears, so she asked and collected fears from many individuals and created illustrations inspired by those fears. This project became a published book. While Julie was talking about the development of this book, she mentioned that she had never illustrated before this project, not formally, and she didn't consider herself an illustrator. One of my fears is that I will never focus on an art form long enough to be good at it and have a body of work to show for it. When Julie mentioned that she hadn't illustrated formally before making this book, it dawned on me. The fear that I have of not making is just that. It's only a fear. I realized that I will have the opportunity to make. I see now that my creative journey is an evolution. It's changing, and it has the potential to keep changing.
Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Holly. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're finally recording. Well, actually, this came about pretty quickly.
It came about very quickly. This is very, almost spontaneous.
Julie, I want to talk about your book, Fear Illustrated. Can you tell us about the process of making that book?
In the beginning, it was a very short process to actually come up with the idea and do it. I was in my 50s at that time when I started thinking about things in my life, including fear, and wondering why I was feeling more fearful about different things in life when I was getting older, thinking as you get older, you get wiser, maybe less fearful. And that sounds so naive to talk about it now. That's how I felt then. It was really puzzling to me. So I was inspired by a video that I watched. One of my students recommended this video. It was part of the Creative Mornings series. They're like TED Talks, but it's called Creative Mornings. And it featured Kate Bingaman Burt, and she's an illustrator and an educator based in Oregon. And she talked about what she calls automated directives and showing up and setting up a structure for yourself so that you can get moving with your creative process, whatever that might be. And I just thought that was an incredible idea to maybe help me get unstuck and help me deal with this whole fear concept that I was thinking a lot about. So I remember clearly sitting at our kitchen table at home and my looking at my husband, Jody, and saying, I'm going to do a project on fear. So I asked my husband right then and there, what is your, one of your fears? And I don't want to put pressure on people and say, what's your biggest fear, the most pressing one? I just say, what's one of your fears? Because usually people have more than one. And he talked about feeling like, what if his children think he's irrelevant, that feeling. And so I sketched something. That's when I started. I just started with Jody. I asked a colleague of mine at the time about his fear, and it was fear of public speaking. That was number two. And I just kept asking people, and people were not shy to share their fears. And I treated this project in terms of process in a more of a spontaneous, quick way So meaning when I sat down to illustrate people's fears, I did not spend hours on these pieces that I illustrated. I could spend 15 minutes or maybe an hour. And I just wanted to keep moving, keep it quick, keep it authentic. I tried not to think about what it should look like. It's just what came to me at the time, and that's what I would put out there. And it did. The visuals evolved over time. But I just trusted in the process that I would come up with something that represented their fear. Sometimes I was I hate to use the word proud of the piece, but I was like, yes, this works for me. This resonates. And sometimes it didn't resonate, or it didn't work as well as I wanted it to. But I was okay with that. I still put it out there because part of this whole thing was my just moving past any fears I had about showing my work to others or having it be perfect or anything like that.
Did it feel healing to create this series?
It did feel healing in that it's a cliche, but when you feel like you're not alone, that is very healing. So that was very clear from the beginning. I am not alone, and other people, I think, really were quick to talk about their fears because it helped them feel seen, that they weren't alone, that it was okay to talk about. They didn't have to keep it to themselves. They didn't have to have shame about it. So people were very open about it. And I did feel it was healing. It didn't bring me down. And I say that because people have asked me. But at some point, I did have to put it down. And I think after the project wrapped up, the book was published in 2017, there was things going on in the world. Things started just to accelerate, and I started to feel overwhelmed by all of that. So I had to put the project aside. And I think about it, and I think about going back to it, but it still feels like, we're all feeling fear, and it feels overwhelming, like an ocean of fear. Maybe that's the title of my next book.
Yeah, I feel like we all experienced or had at least time to contemplate our biggest fears in the past couple years.
Yes, the biggest fears, irrational, rational, all sorts of things going on. It was just hard, and I guess I chose not to deal with it through my artwork. I did other things to stay creative and be creative, but that just felt too difficult at that time.
Speaking of your other work that you've done, let's talk about your creative journey.
Yes, there are a lot of detours that I took before I came here to teach in 2005. When I was working in newspapers, I quit at one point and hiked the Appalachian Trail. That took 5 months and 3 weeks, so almost 6 months. And that was great. And then I went back into newspapers. I quit at one time to move from Virginia to Massachusetts, and I worked at my parents' card and gift shop. I honestly can't remember how long, a couple of years maybe. And then I went back into newspapers. So as much as I love newspapers and visual communication, visual journalism, I did have some struggles with that particular job. It was, the schedule could be really rough. You're always working on something different. It was hard, at least for me, to go in deep into a project, spend a lot of time with it. So yeah, then after I worked for 10 years at this newspaper in Virginia, designing, and in the beginning, picture editing, I came here to teach 2005, and I taught design, publication design, editorial illustration, typography, picture editing, creative process.
You mentioned that you left your job at least two different times. So you hiked the Appalachian Trail, and then you also went home to work with your parents. Can you talk about how you felt making that decision? I feel like my generation, when we're not in our quote unquote career, we feel very fraudulent or ashamed. Did you have those feelings? Did you know you needed that mental break from the hustle? What was your decision-making and feelings about that change?
For some reason, I don't know why, I just didn't have that feeling like I need to do X, Y, and Z. I was always inspired by people who were much older, being published for the first time with their paintings or having their work out there in a gallery, I'm like, this is awesome. And yes, it can happen. So somewhere along the way, I knew that the creative possibilities were out there for everyone, no matter their age or their circumstances. I always had some feeling of angst about lots of different things, but the one thing I wasn't really angsty about is being on a certain timetable to get certain things done by a certain time. It's just not part of my DNA. So when I hiked the Appalachian Trail, I was in heaven. I mean, it was difficult at times, of course, to do that trail and hike in the rain and all that. But it's just exactly what I wanted to be doing. And I took photographs with a point-and-shoot camera. I kept a journal every day. So I was still able to express and create while I was on that trail and document my experience there. When I worked at my parents' card and gift shop, at the time there was a big recession going on in the United States when this was happening. So finding a job at that time, especially where I was in the Boston area, was just really difficult. So my parents were like, work with us in our store, in our retail shop. So I did, and it was kind of a placeholder for what I wanted to do next, which I didn't even know. I was still trying to figure it out. Do I want to go back to the newspapers? I don't know. And what I remembered something that someone told me when we were in grad school. I can't remember his name, but it's someone who used to serve in the Peace Corps in Africa. And he told me about how some days could be very difficult. He didn't have anything to do, or he was just by himself. And he described sweeping like his front stoop or something. And he told me he was going to do the best, most complete, thorough job that he could, very zen-like. It sounded very zen-like when he was telling me this. And that always stuck with me. So when I was working at this card and gift shop and feeling maybe like, oh, what am I doing here? What can I do that can make this a better experience for myself? I decided that I would start sweeping. And so I decided on some things that could be done to help the store with sales. And so there was a large Haitian community in that area where I was working. So I suggested that we get some Haitian greeting cards, and they were in French. My parents ordered them, and I would make sure they were all displayed really well, and they sold like rapidly all the time. We were always selling out. That was one thing I could do that felt positive and proactive.
Did your parents put pressure on you to get back into your formal career while you were there?
No, I never felt the pressure. But the pressure that I put on myself was more the basic broad, what am I going to do with my life? What path do I want to be on? A lot of times I thought about making a mark. What kind of mark? That sounds really egotistical, and I don't mean it to sound that way. But it's like creating, expressing, putting my marks out there and hoping to connect is what I thought about a lot. But I struggled to find a path that would allow me to do that, which is something I discovered later. I was always trying to create it within myself. But I was at the same time seeking venues and places where I could park myself so I could continue to do that.
In 2022, I left my position at the Dairy Barn Arts Center. It was a really hard decision to leave that job, but ultimately I'm glad I made it because now I am in this MFA program. I am learning audio and video production and other storytelling skills. After 15 years working as a professor at Ohio University, Julie took the option for an early retirement.
I mean, you were at that career for a lot longer than I was in my exhibitionist director career, but I took so much pride in my title and the work I did. And when I left that job, I didn't realize how much I had started to identify as my title as Quilt National Director. And then I wasn't that anymore. I can say, oh, I was the director of Quilt National. But yeah, I actually mourned that loss.
Yeah, I'm still in the grieving process. Are you?
Being in this program has really helped heal me.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I'm still walking in that space. It's less intense than it was, but that grieving process and also some disappointment in myself of identifying that strongly with what I did. I thought I had gotten over that. Oh, I thought I learned that lesson years ago, decades ago. When I worked at my parents' card and gift shop, I remember being self-aware of that lesson. Like, you know what? I'm just me. I'm not a photojournalist at a newspaper. I am me. I'm worthy. I don't have to be attached to something to have self-worth. And I really felt like I turned that corner at that time. Took pride in my job there and did some positive things for the store and then left and went back into newspapers feeling even more confident. That's great. And then here I am. It's kind of like me thinking, oh, I'm getting older. Why do I have fears? That's surprising. And now here I am. Oh, I identified so strongly with my job, the title. I mean, I'm not saying this from a point of climbing ladders and prestige. It's just, it was so big a part of my identity. I guess I didn't realize that when I walked away.
I wonder if part of that is, and I know you're still teaching, but the separation from the students, is that a hard transition?
Yes, it's huge. The separation from the students. I really, really love working with students. I love seeing them go through their process, and I just feel like I'm standing in the road with them and just encouraging them and hoping that I'm giving them some tools that they can pick and choose from to help themselves on their process. Because I love seeing that unfold in myself and with others. And I do miss that a lot. That's probably the thing I miss the most.
In Julie's creative process class, she introduced the 72-day project. Over 72 days, we had to work daily on a single project. Each day, we were to post our progress on Instagram using the hashtag 72dayproject. For my project, I wrote a ransom note-style message to my cousin Brooke. The final message read, Brooke, you are made of sunshine, ice cream, black raspberries, and other perfect things. You can see my project at Other Perfect Things on Instagram.
I think you're trying to find Holly. Yes. Holly's unique mark. Which you already have. I see it. And the 72-day project that you've been working on, it is very clear that is your mark. You're doing it with collage. You're doing it with found, not objects, but found visuals, putting them together with this message to your cousin. And it's moving and it's powerful. And there's a distinct aesthetic there. So you're doing it right now with that. And I think one of the points of the 72-day project, maybe you might catch a glimpse of, 10 minutes a day? Like, I don't know if you felt this yet, but have you looked at the grid of all the work that you've created? There's a whole piece there that's bit by bit by bit by bit. And you might be able to find another way to create something that's bit by bit because that's all you have right now in the tank. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be like, full-time studio, major projects. There is value in bit by bit is that you just sit down, even if you're not in the mood, even if you don't have a huge block of time, you cannot wait for the lightning bolt to strike. You just have to teach yourself how to sit down and just get absorbed in it, even if it's 20 minutes. I think that's part of building creative muscle. About for myself, I was following a thread through my life when I was little to now. I've never thought of it as buckets in terms of illustration, photography. I've done photography. I did it for years. I have an MFA in photography. I worked as a photojournalist. I took lots of photo courses when I was an undergrad and really got into it. Started illustrating, playing music. There's so many things. The thread for me has always been storytelling. Learning from others, telling a story, even with the ceramics that I started doing a couple of years ago. I feel like what I'm doing is telling some sort of story, or I'm exploring a story through ceramics. And that's the same with the Fear Project. I never thought of myself as an illustrator. I'm going to illustrate. It was more like, I want to learn about people's fears and doodle them in a visual way and use their words and my visuals. And over the years, my visuals changed. They evolved. Some I like better than others. These final illustrations.
You haven't limited yourself to a medium. You've explored as a way to tell the story versus making the story fit. I feel like I haven't found my medium. I'll make something and I'll be really proud of it or really comfortable with it. And then I'll look back at it and have stopped after I made that nice thing. Stopped and wanted to go on to the next thing to try and see if I can do, or to get it out of my system, or for, I don't really understand why, but I am not committing to the medium.
Maybe your commitment is to exploration. And I don't see anything wrong with trying new things, stopping after a few years. I've done plenty of that in my life, but it's just a quest to be creative and try to express the things that I want to express. And so I've experimented with fabric, with knitting, with crocheting, none of those successfully. But that's okay. But there's a, I think, something to be said about the commitment to explore and then look at things that are consistent in your life. It may not be a craft. It might be something else. A curiosity. What's remained consistent in your life?
I've never given value to that curiosity or exploration. I think you're right that that's more valuable than I'm giving myself credit for.
It's like, what are you trying to express? What it is that you want to put out there? I'm just really fascinated with other people's stories more than I am putting out my personal stuff. Like, I do see like cartoons, graphic novels, quilts that express personal issues, personal stories, which I love. I love those moments. But then you also see plenty of pieces out there, whatever they might be, that explore other people's experiences. So there's storytelling going on all over the place. It's just finding, what stories do you want to explore? What stories do you want to tell? I think that's the creative, that's it.
So can you tell me what either your creative processes or creative outlets, what are you making now at this point in your life?
At this point in my life, I am making clay hearts specifically. I started getting into ceramics a couple of years ago. And so Jody and I decided we would start taking pottery lessons at the Dairy Barn in town. And we did. We started, I think we've each taken maybe three courses or classes each on the wheel and hand building and just learning a lot, and just decided to become studio members. And so my work as a ceramicist, I can't even call myself that, has changed so much over time. So what I'm trying to do now is bring my illustrations to clay in some form. And it's all discovery all the time. And it doesn't take me long to get embarrassed and all cringy to looking at past work. It's serious. It's a rapid kind of change, but I'm not really sure what I'm moving toward. And I'm okay with that. And another part of my creative process is playing music. So old-time music. So for the last 4 years, I've been playing with a group of people. Monday nights, we play old-time for a couple of hours. I play bass, stand-up bass with them. And that just feels creative. It feels expressive. It feels wonderful to play with others and lock in, so you can feel it when everything is clicking, rhythm-wise, sound-wise. We started playing during the height of the pandemic, the beginning of the pandemic, just coming together, and it really, I don't mean to exaggerate, saved us all with our sanity. It's like just the best thing. Sometimes a lot of creative things come about by bringing together unexpected concepts and ideas. that seems to come up a lot out there in definitions of creativity, and I have felt that independently of that. Oh, wow, I never would have thought of that. And it's just through play, through fearlessness, through the lack of worry of the final product, through persistence, through daily showing up, that just feels all creative.
And I don't know if it must have been since being in this class, and I think this is purposeful, what you're teaching us, I had this realization that artists are simply people who show up to their practice every day.
There's a compulsion to create and express. Sometimes it's something from within that they need to explore, and sometimes it's, I need to get this message out, or I need to put this out there. This is important. They show up. These aren't a bunch of people, artists with a capital A, waiting for inspiration to strike, the lightning bolt to hit them, and then they create. And I think that that's a common thought, that there's a key to being more creative, or creating, or finishing, or creating these things. And people think they're not talented, or there's no way they can do that. And I don't mean to simplify it, but some of it is simple. You have to show up. You have to be willing to experiment. And you have to be driving the bus. You know, you're driving the bus, and it's all these people on the bus with you in your head, like inner critics, or telling you what to do, where to drive, where to steer, how to do it. Where should you be on this path? Blah, 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 blah. And you just, no, I'm driving the bus, and you drive it. And you're responsible for moving that bus forward. There's so many books out there about talent and what that means. And there's something to be said about talent, and there's also a lot to be said about hard work and persistence, and just keep working at something. And problem solving is a big part of creativity. So I remember having lunch with someone who's an accountant, and she was talking about her lack of creativity. And we talked, and I said to her, there's a lot of creativity in figuring out the best methods and processes to do what you're doing to make things work. That's creativity. It's just different. It's not like creating an art piece for the wall. A lot of people think creativity is visual or musical, something. But I think there's creativity in just everything we do.
This has been Midlife Creatives. Thank you to my co-host, Julie Ellman, who inspired this show and encouraged me to make it. Special thanks also to David Oyuke and everyone at the Grid Lab. And thank you to Brian Koshko, who over the past 15 weeks taught us everything he knows about podcasting. Check out his podcast, Invisible Ground, anywhere you listen to podcasts. The music in the show is provided by Hillary Burnens, Mark Hellenberg, Steve Owens, Caitlin Krause, and Julie Ellman. This show was made possible through the Scripps College of Communication MFA program in Communication Media Arts. You can find more at ohio.edu.